हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहना भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवत्सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
The Hari Nama,
huh? Yeah. Actually, a lot of people, Maharaj, because when the guests are here, then only the inside campus, all the eateries, they get full. But now, all the eateries out also are full. Like you don't get, you know, place everywhere. It's a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. Because
of the Durga Puja.
No, also many devotees already flew in.
Oh, for Kartik.
Really?
Yeah, well, I mean, Kartik starts from Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's a Kadesh in there.
Yeah.
I mean, some people start from Kadesh.
Yes.
Yeah, you can. You can.
Because the last 5 days is.
But I'm not sure that would be the Vrata. I don't think that would be necessarily the, you know, for Chaturmas you could start, at least that aspect you could start from the Kavasa. But the aspect of lighting the lamps, that'll start on Purnima.
Yeah. And then,
I thought you took out a mask or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Page 21, we're on the Nyaya Sutras. Okay. Perception is knowledge produced by the contact of the senses with the objects of the world. For example, one has perceptual knowledge of a table when a table comes in contact with the eyes. To be considered valid, the contact of the senses with their objects must be clear and doubtless. Perception of something a long distance away as being either a bush or a bear is doubtful, and indefinite cognition is... Oh, is a doubtful and indefinite cognition, and is, therefore, not true perception. But if someone has that, you don't really have to worry that they're going to establish a bogus philosophy or anything. I mean, if they're perceiving a bear as a bush, then, you know, you don't have to worry. They're not going to be a major element within the human gene pool after that mistake.
This is vice versa. They don't have a chance.
I mean, oh, if it's a bush.
It's actually a bush and it's a bear.
Okay. Now, if that bush is on fire,
no.
Then that has spread very well and has become very well, nicely established. Mistakenly perceiving a rope as a snake may be neither doubtful nor indefinite. But it is false and therefore invalid perception. Nyaya philosophy has several different systems of classification of perception. According to the first kind of classification, there are two types of perception, laukika, ordinary, and alaukika, extraordinary. But a perception is derived from direct contact with the sense object. That is ordinary perception. when the object is not directly present to the senses but is conveyed to the senses through unusual modes, then that perception is called alaukika, extraordinary. Modes of perception are either and elements will be given of this, examples? Example will be given of an alaukika, extraordinary?
I just put it as it is.
Oh, because otherwise you don't know what that means.
It will be explained a little later.
It is explained, okay.
It's not an example as such, but an explanation.
But an explanation, something. Yeah, yeah. That something is there. Okay. Modes of perception are either external, bahya, or internal, manasa. In external perception, any or all of the facilities of sight, hearing, touch, taste, and smell are involved in bringing the object to the mind. Thus, there are five kinds of external perceptions, bahya: visual, auditory, tactile, gustatory, and olfactory. Really? Gustatory. That's a fancy name. The five senses of hearing, touching, seeing, tasting, smelling are all gross senses, while mind is the subtle sixth sense. Mind is the internal faculty that perceives the qualities of a soul, such as desire, aversion, pleasure, pain, and cognition. In Nyaya philosophy, ordinary perception, laukika, is either indeterminate, nirvikalpa, or determinate, savikalpa. Indeterminate perception is the primary cognition of a thing before judgment is used to specify diverse characteristics. For example, in the first glance at a table, one perceives the mere existence of the table without comprehending its color, shape, and other specific characteristics. One perceives only a general appearance without details. Only upon further inspection does one recognize that it is, say, a round table with a drop leaf. This determinate perception is the cognition of an object that registers some definite characteristics about it. Determinate perception is always preceded by indeterminate perception, and determinate perception is always valid knowledge because it is definite and explicit. Right. So when you first kind of take a general glance at something, you're not focused on it. That's the indeterminate. And many times, and then from that, then you get a more, if you focus on it, then you can get the details. So then the indeterminate should turn into determinate, but if it doesn't, that's where also problems will come up. You know, somebody saw something but they don't, they can't really say what it is. You know, so then they want to use that indeterminate as authoritative, but at the same time as it doesn't have enough to it to make it authoritative. You know. And then you have the problem because they're working with the mind, then it'll start to become what they think it should be. And then they come up with all kinds of ideas, even though it was indeterminate.
It's not only about seeing, isn't
it? Because it'd be anything.
We hear sometimes, and then people make the whole theory out of what they heard, but they actually heard it wrong.
Yeah. And any of these it can be. But that's the point. The indeterminate means it's just general. You heard a sound. You don't know what it is.
You know, but then also when you, like Prabhu was explaining, sorry, you heard just part of the thing, and then you rush into conclusion, but the rest of the thing you didn't hear.
Yes.
So you don't know the whole.
Yes.
So then it becomes really strange.
In Krishna's song, we have also such a funny example when one monarch shows that in his village was a person who completely doesn't follow to all the rules of Islam.
Does not follow.
Okay.
When
he came to him and he asked him, why don't you follow to Quran? He said, oh no, dear, respectful Allah, I completely follow to the one of the instructions of Quran. And he asked, which instruction you follow? He told, when Quran was written in one sira, that you just enjoy your senses and do whichever you want. And Baba said, but you know, from the first part of sentence, second part is, and then you go to the hell. This person replies, but respect for Allah, who can follow to all of the instructions of the world?
You can follow.
They enjoy the sense of not to go to hell.
But then the thing is, oh, there's so many rules, how can you follow? So then this way you throw them all. Oh, that's an interesting one. Yeah, or here it's even that it's you're taking the determinant, but you're only taking part of it. You know, you're only taking what suits you instead of taking the whole thing. So that's going to be, yeah. Nyaya claims that there are three kinds of extraordinary alaukika perceptions: perception of classes, samanya lakshana, perception based on association, jnana lakshana, and intuitive perception. Yogaja. The realization that all people are mortal is an instance of external perception of classes, samanya lakshana. How does one know that all people are mortal? One cannot come to this realization by ordinary perception, because the mortality of all people in all times cannot be physically perceived by the senses. But because the person is never perceived without his personhood, that is, the class essence or universality of all humans being shared, then a conclusion can be made based on that essence. A person is known as a person because of the presence of personhood in him. This direct perception of personhood is the medium through which all people, or the class of people, are perceived. To perceive personhood means to perceive all individuals, all people as individuals, in which this characteristic resides. The perception of all people is due to the perception of the universality of humanity in all people. Therefore, this type of knowledge is called the extraordinary perception of classes. Like, you know, like we're talking about dogs. We're talking about this, the extraordinary. But because we're not seeing all dogs. So when you say dogs are like this, we haven't seen all dogs. You say this dog is like this, you can say that. But when you say dogs as a class are like this, because we've seen whatever is there in everybody who's seen dogs, this is how they talk about them.
I mean, there's also ordinary perception.
Yeah. Ordinary means it means you're seeing the dog, but that's that dog. You can't say dogs. You know what I'm saying? When you put it into the classes. Like he says, perception of class, samanya, perception based on association, jnana, and intuitive. So the classes, you know, that then you're saying. Does that make sense? You see, let's say, there's a quality that's accepted in the dog. You know, they bark. And so you see this dog barking, so you say, yeah, all dogs bark. You know, you're seeing the what do you call it? The ordinary perception, you know, but it's determinant because you're seeing the dog and you're seeing it barking. But you're putting into the extraordinary because you're talking about it in the context of dogs. You know, there's a dogness, so therefore the doghood is there.
So it's like a generalization.
Yeah, generalization. Yes. Yes. And it may be something that's appreciated, or it may be not. You know, it's just like for the, you know, to give a generalization, you know, in some people's eyes, the Hatfields are great and the McCoys are not. And then other, if you go across the stream, you know, just don't fall in when you go over the log. Then the McCoys are the real deal, right? Because it's the real McCoy. You never say, ah, that's the real Hatfield. You know, so, you know, so there's some bias, huh? And so then, you know, they'll say the Hatfields are the problem. You know, especially they don't even wear hats, you know, so it's just really annoying.
They left
them
in the field.
Oh, they left them in the field. Or they left them in the river when they came across. Yeah, so then those kind of generalizations are, you know, so that's why then even that you want to take back to scripture. But you can use these general things that are there. It gives an example people understand. You know, so it has its use, but it has to still, it still has to be in support of something shastral. Otherwise, then the senses aren't perfect. Yes?
So people speak about nowadays about group identity, and that's not taken as in a positive light. That means if you belong to a certain group, you're bad. You are.
Yes, yes.
White male, for example.
Yes.
So we also,
what if this white male is actually thinks he's a female who's black and who's pregnant?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's okay.
Yeah.
We also use this.
But then they say, "You're a white boy." How can you say that? No, that's the thing nowadays. You can say anything you want.
Because knowing Brahman is how you feel.
Yes.
At the moment.
Because
next moment you can feel different.
Yeah, it should be that there was this one guy, he was a guy, you know, by all, you know, biological standards and all that.
Science.
Yeah, you know, that biased, you know, thing. And he decided he's a woman. So he would go to all the, I think this was, it may have been in New York or something, or at least the Northeast. And he went to all the races, you know, the women's races. He took part in them because he identified himself. And he won them all. But it's like, nobody does that. No woman has won.
Big margin.
Yeah. Nobody has won all 20 of these meets. You know, but then at other times he's just a dude with his dude, and he does rap and that and does the whole thing, and he's a guy. It's just that, you know, I feel like it at this time, so therefore I feel like a woman, so I go and run this woman. Then when he comes back, then he's a dude, he's a rap guy, you know.
Just, I mean, point,
you don't play, huh?
In Israel, in the shopping malls now, they have, sorry, restrooms, men, women, family.
Men's.
Means if you want to size
it,
who you are, go there.
Oh, but it's not the families themselves go there. But I remember going something, we were traveling somewhere.
They have child care, it's different. Child care is for women and kids, small babies.
No, but I remember going to some place, you're driving on the road, and when you stop, you have the petrol station, you have a few shops and all that, and there's a bathroom, but the bathroom was just one. Yeah. Everybody went into it. But everything was stalls. You know, so you go in, because I didn't know, because I went in, and I went into one of the stalls, and when I came out, and, you know, the big long counter, the mirror, and everything like that, there were two ladies sitting there, standing there, you know, when I came out with the shoes and thinking, okay, and we start talking to them.
In Peru, they have restrooms like that.
Peru?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just all stalls. You get out, and all of a sudden, there's, you know, everybody's all in there.
Yeah. And also, I think it was in Finland when we went to the new library. So it was all new. It's a huge thing. It's not like the regular ones, like these ones I mentioned there, that are just enough to walk and then the stalls. These are huge areas and sinks, and it goes off into all the different rooms and everything like that. And everybody just goes down. You come down the stairs, it's open, the whole place is open, only the bathroom itself is left.
Finland is different. They have saunas that get
in. Yeah, they have tradition. Sitting in the sauna.
Oh,
all
I'm
together.
Talking about
I didn't think they have that tradition.
Yeah.
Okay, family just means anyone else, whatever you think you are.
Yes. Because if you, at this moment, think you're a woman and you go to restaurant, you know, that's kind of weird. Not everybody understands
your
mood at the moment. Okay. But there you will be accepted.
If you go in there.
In the mutual one. Yeah.
In the family one. Everybody in there is.
I don't know, I didn't.
You didn't go.
I'm just surprised. What's wrong?
You could have put on a jacket and a tie and then walked into that one and see what they said. Okay, so.
No, it's okay. I just. My question is, so we also use this. One has to use this.
We mean back to the class.
No, back to the group identity. It's handy to use it, and we see Varnashrama means also, in a sense, group identity.
Okay, yeah.
So, but how is ours not negative?
Because the point is if the group identity is based on the actual inherent nature of them, and within that you have your individuality, because you're still going to have individuality, just like we say humans. You know, if they want to get into that, then you can also say humans. Because I'm sure if you talk to the animals, and that, then humans as a group is a problem. You know, it's a negative connotation, if you say. I think Grendel's mother has the same opinion, you know, the humans are a problem. So it's just a matter of they've decided certain groups, because they say you can't say group, but they'll still, everybody else is groups, because they say it's not about groups, but then what about, you know, white males? So even though you're 5 years old, you're still responsible for all the problems in history. You know, which is, so they're doing the same thing. You know, if you're black, you're great. You know, it's like that, the icon of the Black Lives Matter movement. The guy was a full-on criminal who that day he was stoned and he had tried to held up a place and he had a gun. The police were after him and then they caught him. But they'll say, but he was getting, you know, he's on his way up, he's getting better. He may have been from previous, but he still was a full-on criminal. Like that. And so, yeah, the police may have dealt improperly, but all that, but it didn't, that doesn't change that he was a criminal. So why is it he's the face of Black Lives Matter? Why not take somebody, you know, like, what was that?
Because that's true.
Oh, that's another thing, you're running in general. But I'm just saying, who was the guy who started... I can't remember the name now. He started the university, I think in Virginia or something like that. Black guy, back in the 1800s, he started a university. Or, you know, some guys that are inspiring, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, these men are like Malcolm X or something, you know, something. But I mean, why this guy? He's just a criminal. Mm-hmm. You know, he may be trying to get his life together, but so many people are trying to get their life together. It doesn't mean that they become the poster child.
He's the martyr.
Huh?
Martyr.
Martyr, yeah, kind of. You know? But I mean, martyr generally means you're out doing a good cause and then you get killed. He was trying to escape from, you know, an armed robbery. You know, and he was stoned, you know?
He could have used Breonna, I guess. She was the neighbor of where they were supposed to, the police were supposed to raid the neighbor's house, but they went into her house by accident and... She was just sleeping and they shot her.
Yeah, something like that. They could use like that. That's that you could say is indirect martyr. But it's Martin Luther King. Yeah. He would be a martyr. He was out marching for that and they shot him there. You know, like that. That's the, so why not him? Why not some of these other? Why this guy? You know, it's like that. So then, so you generalize them because they're black, that makes it all right? You know? So I mean, that doesn't work, you know. Just like you can't say because they're black it's all right, because they're white it's bad. It's a person's good, they're good. If they're bad, they're bad. And then you define what's good and you define what's bad. And so how do you do that? Because everybody have their own opinion. You can only do that on the absolute platform. Then that defines what's good and bad.
It seems any type of generalization is not very well accepted. Unless it's not coming.
Yeah, but unless it's the thing, but what about LBG? What is it? LGB? LBGQT? No. Q is after the T. LBGTQ is, I think, I plus. Oh, then an A now. Okay. Every 6 months there's another letter put on there. And then at some point they'll decide this group is not representing us and the letter will go out. So, but otherwise, the amount of letters is huge, so that's why they put the plus, because it's probably another 20, 30 letters, but they, you know, how can you write that big of a...
Yeah, and then what if there's two G's, do you put a square?
Yeah, it's a square, okay, yeah, that's a good, that would be.
So, they're called the Rainbow Coalition, and I've also heard them called the Alphabet Army.
Alphabet soup. Huh?
Alphabet soup.
Alphabet soup, yeah.
Yeah, that's how I figured out. They put the spoon in and
Yeah, it's got the alphabet. You don't have the alphabet soup?
No.
It's Campbell's, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He says Campbell's soup. It's for kids. And then you open the top, dump it out, heat it up in the thing, and put it in the bowl. And when you pick it up in the spoon, it's more of a clear soup with some things in it, but it's got pasta in it that's in the shape of alphabets. So that way the kids can look at it and then say the alphabets and then
really?
Eat it and the next one. Yeah.
Does it exist?
Yeah.
You don't have to cook your
alphabets. You don't have to cook
soup.
Soup is soup. And it's a clear definition of the soup.
But then you can put...
No extras.
Yeah. You can put those in there. Because that's for the adults, for the kids, then you put that in there. Because there's less Shemitah, so they shouldn't get. I mean, if you tell them, I don't get Shemitah, because then you can't see the letters. So then.
We didn't bother with that. Also never
okay. You just don't get anyway.
Where are you supposed to learn from this soup? See,
yeah. Okay, you're not impressed with this particular educational technique.
I see where it goes.
You feel spoiled, man. Experienced alphabet soup.
Sorry.
You could add alphabet pizza or something.
I find it very ingenious.
You have to work with you.
I think it's fine.
Fine. But I mean, it's not necessarily, you could say, an up-to-date technique. I think it's been around for a long time.
At least the 70s, probably before that.
No, I remember seeing it.
Before that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it goes way back.
Well,
we lost. It's not so many.
It might be harder to make the Cyrillic letters than the...
Yeah. Like that, or the Hebrew letters, or the Chinese letters. Now that would be a tough one.
Yeah, because they're
not even connected. Right?
Okay, we had something. All our plates were usually have some
design,
but more like the China stuff.
Yeah.
So my parents, for me to finish this whole thing because they didn't like it. We were always guessing what's there on the bottom. Which of the paintings are there? If I guessed right, then I would get something. If she guessed right, I don't know what she got, but I had to finish the whole thing to see
what's there. Oh. Okay. Yes, yeah, so it's just some way to inspire the kids.
You can cheat with that one, as you put a mark on a bowl of a different color.
I don't know. I think we had only two possibilities there. It was too small to understand. My father used to say how many spoons are in there, count them, and then I had to finish. Because it was very inspiring. Jewish.
The counting was more than the pictures.
And the ABCs.
Yeah. Unless you can make a profit off the pictures.
So difficult in other cultures to make the child read. In our culture, it's very easy.
We did too. So that seems to be a universal.
Yeah, yeah. There's certain old world.
Alphabet soup not universal.
No.
Smack is universal.
Yeah. Yeah. Or there was the alphabet. There's nothing else to eat. Like in the Gurukul, you have your set times of eating. The kids come in for the first 3 weeks, like that. But after 3 weeks, there's no other food than at prashad times. And then they start eating like a champ.
Same in the Arabic.
Yeah?
Same.
Oh, okay.
Same in the Orthodox families, 12 kids and more.
Okay. If you don't eat it, someone else.
If you don't show up at the table, that's it. Nobody's going to wait for you.
And there'll be nothing left.
Yeah.
You'll end up with just the alphabets on the bottom. Yeah.
Nobody wants the disease, although if you turn them, they're ends. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's probably also how they cheat, because they can use the same one for B's, can be B, P, Q, and G. Okay, so they don't have to have 26 different letters.
Well, that's fine. Well, we adopt the alphabet, B, E, then, I mean, letters. So, and I heard in, so I think in Belarus, there's also Jewish community there. So the first day in school, they give the kids this even, yeah, it was drawing, they didn't have the paper. The board, yeah.
So, like chalkboard.
Yeah. So they will draw the first letter of the alphabet, A, with honey, and then all the kids, they have to lick the
honey off.
Eat the letter A and B and I think two or three letters. So this was the samskara they did for the first school day. So the meaning was that knowledge is sweet, actually, and knowledge has to be taken inside and digested and realized. Not just.
Oh, so this is their Namakarana samskara.
Yes.
Okay. So you're saying that community, when they went to America and they figured out they could sell it as soup.
They didn't go to America. Actually. I mean, this guy that I heard from him, he's American.
Okay, so he's maybe that's it. His great-grandfather then made alphabet soup.
I need some honey for tomorrow's Bhagavad Gita class.
What's
that's how we're going to memorize verses.
You just, yeah, write the shlokas on there. I mean, everybody has a plate right in there.
Yeah. Only they got the board dirty.
Yeah, that's somehow another. It says, except for the Brahminical culture, no one seems to really care about impurity. It doesn't register. Yeah.
It's really dirty.
Yeah,
on the Pope's ring. Honey in their hair and stuff.
Yeah. Well, that'll be untidy. So that will be caught. When they go home, they'll clean them up. Mm-hmm. But impurity means uncleanliness. Is seen, but impurity, if it's pure or not, that's not seen.
We don't even have a word for that.
Yeah, it's not even words for that.
We have just clean.
Clean, yeah.
Pure, what is it?
It's clean.
It's clean or not?
Right.
A friend of mine was telling me that when he's in public transportation, he has a hard time now to touch anything there with his right hand.
He should just wear gloves.
Yeah.
That's why Michael Jackson did that.
Yeah. He just wore the morning gloves.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. He's been in anxiety about this for the last 4 years. Yeah.
And now our compiler will feel he's in anxiety when we go back to the
city. No, I have so many other things to do. Yeah. I'm doing my work. I'm afraid.
You're doing your work, we're speculating. Everybody's having fun.
I'm sure we're demonstrating some sort of fallacial nyaya thing.
Yeah, something. Yes.
What can happen to people who study nyaya?
Yes. Where they will go with the nyaya. Okay, so then. Okay, so the thing is the individual is there, but they're manifesting the qualities of the group. So therefore, you can, because that group has some inherent qualities or some understood, you can say that those would be there in the individual.
You can, yeah.
You know. Okay. There might be some exception, but it's just like, you know. But generally speaking, like I remember we were walking, where was that? What place was that? I think it was in Croatia. We were walking down the street, and I think because they had one place here, and then they had like some land where they grew vegetables. It was kind of like the kind of temple scene, and then you'd walk like, I'm not sure how far it was. Like half a kilometer, maybe a little more, maybe a kilometer, and then you'd be at where they grow, where their fields are. And then when you get down to the, where you're walking down at some distance, then you'd hear this very weird sound. You know? That means as you're going by the place. And then as you keep going, then you notice that there's a dog at the fence, and it's making this weird sound. You know? So I ask, you know, what's with the dog? The guy's got a cold or what? He says, no, they took out his, you know, did some adjustment on the voice box, because the guy was, so, anything moves, you know, like a mosquito goes by. He's, so I guess there was so much complaint. You know, so he is barking, but he's not making the regular sound. So that, but he still is the nature to bark, even though you may not see the, you know, the general characteristic may not be. So that's the thing in the Vedic, is that because there's groups doesn't mean the individuality is lost. Well, in general, unless it's seen from the proper the Vaishnava perspective, individuality is lost. You know, because if you're not, let's say, like you're not a Brahmin, then you're, you know, something else. And so, but in the Vedic, is no, it's what your nature is. That's what it is, and that nature that fits into the groups.
It starts from that way around.
Yeah, it starts from the individual, and then goes out to what you call. Then you have the group, rather than your groups are there for you to squalor.
The rest starts from the group identity. We are born.
Yes. Yeah, because it's born. Yes. Yes.
Also, the four groups are only in the Grihastha.
That's true. That's
true. Brahmachari, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas, the rules.
Means the Grihastha, you have Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Means as occupation. For Brahmachari, Grihastha, Brahmachari, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, you only have Brahma. You only have the Brahminical culture. Because that's the thing, it's the Brahminical culture for everybody. Like that in general. Though you have some specifics that the Kshatriyas, you know, they don't, they're challenged, they don't stand down and stuff like that. Well, you see, like that Digvijay Pandit came to challenge Rupa Goswami. And his point is he'd rather not waste the time. You know, so then, you know, you don't want to fight and give us something that says that, you know, that you've been defeated by. You know, so yeah, why not? It's like 30 seconds and then you save yourself hours of trouble. You know, it's like, why not? But the Kshatriya, then if he's challenged, you know, he has to take the challenge. So you'll have those kind of uniquenesses of the thing, but the general principles you're trying to get, because that Kshatriya, before as a Brahmachari, that he would follow that, and then after retirement will follow that. It's just for the duty of a Kshatriya, he needs to be, you know, have that particular move. So, a different kind of extraordinary perception. Jnana Lakshana, association is evolved when one says that something looks delicious, or that a block of ice looks cold, or that a stone looks hard. These assertions imply that the taste of food, the coldness of ice, and hardness of stone can be perceived by the eyes. Yeah, because you say, oh, that looks good. Mm. You know? Even though it can't be. You know, so it is within there. But how can the eyes perceive the qualities of taste and touch? Nyaya says that the past experience of touch and taste is so closely associated with the visual appearance of the causative agents of those experiences that whenever those sources come in contact with the eyes, they bring about the perception of taste and touch simultaneously with that of their color. Right? So you see the thing. But then you know, okay, if it has these kind of colors, then it's, you know, it'll be a very rich preparation, or it'll be very light, or it'll be, you know, and then you're saying, oh, that'll be tasty, because when you saw that combination before. Because much of the time, if you're cooking, if it looks proper, generally you can know it'll taste all right. You know, unless, of course, the spicing's wrong, but at least the textures and other things will be correct. So that's from experience. But before you sense, when it's like this, then the taste was good. When it was like that, the taste wasn't good. So if you see something that looks like this, you'll say that looks nice. It'll taste good.
It's interesting that it's part of the pleasure that we try to give Krishna, the motion look also nice.
Yeah, because yeah, all the senses. It should look nice, smell nice, taste nice, the touch should be nice.
So it's called Jnana Lakshana because of the knowledge we have? So experience versus...
Yeah, but by association. Here the Jnana means the association. You associate it with it. It means this look is associating with that taste that was good. So in other words, you're going beyond the sense into an area that you don't... let's say you hear someone talking and then you decide that they must be a nice person. It's by sound, but then you just the voice, or you just see them and, oh, they must be nice.
If I'm correct, then, for example, from a different area, example, you see the Apple logo on whatever it is, so you say that it's a good product.
Yes.
Even though you maybe never tried that specific one product.
But you've in the past you've dealt with, you've seen and dealt with something of that had that Apple logo and it was good. So now when you see that logo, you'll say it's good. You know, like you say Ferrari should win races, though they don't, but you know, they should, but they don't because they're Ferrari, but they don't win. You know, like that.
So when the boy meets a girl and it's a nice looking girl, so he assumes that she'll be a nice person.
Yeah. Like that.
Yeah.
Until she smiles and you see these big long fangs. So she is attracted to you.
Differently.
Yeah, yeah. So
you might not appreciate it.
Yeah. This present perception of taste and touch, due to the revived past knowledge of the color of the food, ice or stone, is called Jnana Lakshana, perception based on association. This, because you see, one is group, you know, that we saw before, that this is association, which is kind of like group, but you're going across senses. One is senses in a group, one is across senses. But it's still a group, but you're associating with your experience before.
It's interesting. We had some friends visiting, and they gave an introduction before Kirtan, and they are, you know, famous Kirtanis.
Okay.
So he was chanting and she was talking. So we were there, and then in the introduction, she asked the audience just to get them to hear what she says, because, you know, audience usually, they do what they, you know, their own things. So she asked the question. She said, so what do you think about Kirtan? Is it a group experience or is it a personal experience, individual? Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, it's a tricky question, actually.
Why can't it be both?
Yeah.
Does it have to be
but
the individual experience in the group?
Yeah, but there in the group, nobody thought about that.
Because how can a group experience, because only the individual can experience.
Yeah.
And the individual on their own won't experience it unless there's the group.
Yeah. So when she asked, then everybody obviously said, yeah, well, it's a group experience because it's Kirtan. Because Japa is your individual experience of the same thing. So why are you asking? And then she said, no. She said, it's an individual experience. And we both were sitting there, so we looked at one another, but because she is a big authority, we wouldn't be challenging in front of everybody else. and then we discussed, and then we came to the conclusion, like you mentioned, and then she actually, after some time, she agreed to that also in private conversation.
Oh, in a private conversation, yeah.
When we had, after some years, actually.
By the way,
well, I mean, That lady, you have to be careful. Because she cuts you like a cucumber, you know?
Thursday, 7 o'clock, 7th June, how do you say, 1853, you said. You remember that?
So it is. So in our tradition, the group actually supports individuality.
Yeah.
But what nowadays is going on, and I can see it very obviously.
Yeah.
It's a clever policy how because individual on its own, I mean, there are few strong individuals, but usually people on their own, they are quite weak. So in order to make them more weak, they preach the individuality, that you don't have to belong to anybody, you have to be beyond this. It's basically...
Then you go, oh great, so I don't have to be here. Listen to you talk all this stuff. I came to, you know.
It's basically you and your gadget, whatever you use, and then you can be yourself without considering anybody else. Because group means you have to adjust. But then, so it's for the new generation, it's a serious challenge for their existence. It's an existential problem,
existential, actually. Yeah. But then they say they're not part of a group. But then all those apps that they're on, they're not group apps.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just do something on your own. Get a, what do you call it? These like a painting app or something like that, and just make pictures. It's only you. You're an individual. Now, why are you on all this social media? That's
more full of nerds.
Nerds, yeah.
Nerds.
They are the big individual.
But they are groups. They have forums and chats where they share their ideas.
Yeah.
That if you want, they share. Otherwise, they're happy.
No,
they're
happy to take their ideas.
Yeah.
They're all the same, right?
Yeah, this is
species.
This is what do you call it? This was
extraordinary.
What do you call it? What was the
Alokika?
Alokika. The Samanya? No, yeah. What was it? Perception of classes. Yeah.
I have to tell you, they're all the same, from different nationalities. I came in contact with them. They even talk the same. They have the same expressions. And you feel as stupid with anyone of them.
Okay, it doesn't matter where the nerd's from, you'll always feel stupid.
Yeah,
talking
yeah because
them.
What they say, I mean, that's simple, you know. It's primitive, you're going to keep can do it.
Well, because I think the one thing that is generally there, you could say also in the nerd mentality, is that they're expert.
Yeah.
Right? Because if they're less than expert, then they're just a wannabe. So then that doesn't really qualify. But they're not masters. So they can't explain it, because a master can then interact and explain to anyone. An expert can only explain it to someone else of a similar potential. So that's why you always feel stupid, because they don't know how to say it anyway other than that, and they don't know that there is any other need to say it that way.
You keep always quiet. You live quiet nerds.
I say, yeah, that would be the... I guess that would be the Goths. They're quiet. They just sit in the corner and don't interact with anybody. So in other words, when you've been everybody else has made you feel bad, then you turn into a Goth. Right? So you're skeptical, just sit in the corner.
Yeah, because you cannot turn into a nerd.
No, to be one of those, you know, the
genius ones.
Yeah, it means the what do you call them? The kids that are, you know, from the good families, get good marks, look good. They're, you know,
you call them preppies.
Yeah, preppies. You know, you're basically you're born a preppy, you're born a nerd, but you can become a Goth. So it's more open and more universal, more accommodating, more universal,
more general.
Yeah. Okay. Ooh. This type of knowledge is extraordinary because it is conveyed by a sense organ that ordinarily is not capable of perceiving that type of knowledge. Because the mind incorporates previously associated experiences, it is able to perceive such knowledge. So you see, you're defining each one exactly on its own, but when you're using perception, you use a combination of them. But still, you have to know what's there, because then you can see where the fault is. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, then someone's talking, and there's so many ways the perception can be faulty. So then if you can catch, then you can notice you're making this mistake. The third kind of extraordinary perception is called yogaja. The knowledge born of yoga practices. Okay. It is intuitive knowledge that never depends on sense object contact and is never false. It is perceived after the mind is cleansed through yogic practices. Oh, so it is yoga with a G. Yeah. This knowledge from within is divided into two categories, depending on the degree of perfection of yogi attainments. Those who have completed their inward journey and have attained spiritual perfection, who perceive intuitive knowledge of all objects constantly and spontaneously, are called yukta yogins. Those who are still on the path of the spiritual journey, for whom concentration and other auxiliary conditions are required to attain it, and intuitive knowledge, are called yujan yogins, except from Sadarshan compiled by His Holiness Sohoji Swami. Okay, so then I think in there, isn't it that the those who have the yukta yogins, those, then you can hear from them. Their perception is considered. Yeah, there's this problem. So even it's pratyaksha, it still goes back to that, because they only see in context of shastra.
That's what people say nowadays, you connected, so it's yukta. But they don't know what they're connected to.
No, they don't know what they're connected to. Just, it sounds good. He switched on. Switched on what?
So can we say that intuitive knowledge is when the yogi connects to Paramatma?
There's that, but also just the shastra. If there are even more the points like that, they seem like that. But that doesn't have to be the position. Like you would see Prabhupada would say stuff, and he wouldn't connect it in that way. You know, because it's just shastra says this, that's why we're doing it. Like there was just some letter or something was sent to the pujaris at that certain temple. And he was saying that you have to be careful with when you're dressing the deities with the pins. Mm-hmm. You can't just put the pins in and they, because it's like that. You have to actually put it so you don't touch the deity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so he said, and don't ask why I know or how I know. You know, so he doesn't want to bring it to that kind of essence.
Mm-hmm.
Only when someone's saying this and that, when I think a devotee was saying, using it the other way. You know, when you see this and that, and so many things just connect with the karma, that's the point. So you have some outside guy. So then you see, like this, and then that, and then the devotee said, no, it's this and that, shastra, and that. And afterwards, Prabhupada said, no, Paramatma tells me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it just depends. You pay it down, and you say, "Oh, that's not happening." What do you mean it's not happening? So it's.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Prabhupada.